I don't think over the past 25 to 30 years, you can pick a more pathetic franchise, a more pathetic excuse of a team than the Pittsburgh Pirates. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dugout. We are here today again with some more baseball content. Drew is rocking an NBA jersey, an NBA t-shirt. I am rocking a college sweatshirt. But you know we're all about that baseball content. I am Cardinals fanatic AJ Caldwell. That is Drew, is Yankees ride or die guy Drew Zagrosi. The Yankees ride or die guy Drew Zagrosi. How are we doing over there, Drew?
We're doing, you know, World Series baseball. Baseball's done, so
it's over.
We'll be talking about some random things now. We'll see.
Get into some random stuff. We're going to be getting our feelings each and every week, as you guys know. But yeah, baseball season's over, which means we get to debate. We get to do whatever we want. Now until baseball starts again in February or March or whenever the heck it is. So let's get right back into it. As always, we are going to start with a historical moment in Drew and I's lifetime, if we could go back or if we could presently experience it. You guys have already heard us talk about who you'd want to strike out. You've already heard us talk about who you want to hit a bomb off of. Now we're going to mend the two together, Drew. Who would you, I'll tee you up first, who would you want to storm the mound on? If you got plunked, if there was one high and tight, you can take whatever direction you want. Either you got hit by the pitch, it was either high and tight and you didn't like it. Who are you just dropping the bat and let's do this thing. Let's duke this out.
So I picked Craig Kimbrel. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. I can't stand the windup he does. And if he hit me doing that, I don't know. I'd charge the mound. He always killed the Yankees when he was on the Red Sox, so that's my pick.
I love it. So, like when he does his windup, just walk me through the scenario. Like if he does his thing, like what? Like
I don't know. He does the arm thing, and if I don't know, he's just I can't stand the windup, man. It's just hate it.
So you would charge
it's him unneeded. Just because, I feel like it's unneeded. Like he doesn't have to do that.
So if someone asks you later, like a reporter asks you, you would just tell him like I didn't like the way he was standing.
Yeah. And it's because he was a Red Sox. Red Sox, too. Man, was in his prime, the Red Sox, and if you would call that a prime, but yeah.
Okay, we're not even a minute in, and Drew's already coming for people's kneecaps.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a guy that I think everyone wants a piece of, though they probably wouldn't be able to take. Give me Amir Garrett, bro. Yeah. Amir Garrett has been taking on everybody at least once a year. You remember the infamous thing he stormed the after the Pirates dugout. He started chirping at him first, and then he basically says come on and takes on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates organization, which we'll get to that in just a moment. But Amir Garrett, bro, like he tries to swing on people, and I don't think I'd win that fight, but if we're doing probably a hypothetical scenario, bro, I'm a baseball player. I'm jacked, like,
yeah, 100%.
I'm hyped up, bro. Like I'm adrenaline rush. Like I might even do the Bryce Harper thing where I throw my helmet and instead of it slipping out of my hand, I just drill him right between his eyes, dude. Like,
you just have to.
Can you imagine? But yeah, Amir Garrett would be fun to storm the mound on. He's he's so annoying. Like, yeah,
he's got to be one of the most hated.
Oh, easily. It's like the Vontaze Burfict. Remember Vontaze Burfict from the Cincinnati Bengals? How he would just like go ham on people and get like 15-yard penalty after 15-yard penalty. That's like Amir Garrett. So let me get a piece of him. So. There you go, Craig Kimbrel and Amir Garrett. Let's line that up and knock them down.
Alrighty. Well, moving on. We are going to be doing the top five Padres of all time. So, this week we're going to have AJ start with five, and he'll give the number one spot. So, who do you have? Number five.
Number five, San Diego Padres, just made the NLCS. They're on people's minds. They haven't been around a long time. People forget that. They've been around a while, but they haven't been around as long as some other franchises. So you got to go, you know, way back in the history books for some of this stuff. But at number five, I might shock some people with this. At number five, give me Manny Machado.
Okay.
I'm putting Manny Machado at five. Now, people are going to get up in arms, but let me just tell you in one or two sentences. Manny Machado has been phenomenal at San Diego Padres. He's been an NL MVP conversation almost every year. And he's been there long enough where I think he should be part of their franchise history. If we're going to talk about LeBron and the Lakers, we should talk about Manny Machado on the Padres. Signed a 10-year deal. He's going to be there a while. I think he deserves to be on this list. Number five.
Yeah, my opinion. That's a future Hall of Famer right there.
There you go.
So, yep. Alrighty. Love it. Number four. Let's see.
I did have
to do some research as well. So, number four, I'm going to put Ken Kmetyn. I don't even know how to say this name.
What are we doing, bro? We're just making up random things.
Ken Kmetyn. All right.
Okay.
Career high batting average of .326 with 40 home runs and 130 RBIs.
My bad.
And that's currently still the Padres single season RBI record. So I feel like that's a good spot to put him in number four.
My bad, bro. Wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. Makes it a little bit more dicey now. For the record, I do not have Fernando Tatis Jr. He's on my list, but I can't put him in the top five. He's kind of a what if career, unfortunately.
Yeah.
If he doesn't play well in 2023 and 2024, might be the biggest what if story in MLB history. But so because of that, at number three, I'm gonna go with Dave Winfield. I'm gonna go Dave Winfield. He actually spent. I was just talking to my Padres buddy about this recently. He spent the first part of his career, I think it was 10 to 12 years or whatever, with the Padres. And he obviously had a great career. I think he was a two-sport athlete as well. Got drafted in the NFL and drafted in the MLB, decided to play baseball instead. So he's a dude, man. Like he's got that Bo Jackson type of level of talent. So give me Dave Winfield, more famously known, I think, for his Red Sox days, if I'm not mistaken. He was on the Red Sox for a while, but played on the Padres, beginning part of his career. Give me him number three.
Okay. Well, I think number two, I'm going to put Gary Templeton. All right. Served as the Padres captain for 4 years, played 10 years with the team, and has a total of 1,335 hits. What's wrong? Why are you standing up?
You said who?
Gary Templeton.
Wow. Well,
who was on your mind? Who was on your mind?
Gary Templeton.
Yes.
Drew, does the name Trevor Hoffman mean anything to you?
Nope. Not at all. Not at all.
Drew, do you know what Trevor Hoffman has that Mariano Rivera does not?
The something with the saves, right?
The most saves in MLB history.
Yeah.
And you put some guy with 1,000 RBIs over him?
Mm-hmm.
All right, bro.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Folks, you knew that Drew and I were going to – it was only a matter of time. Last week, we kind of started chirping a little bit. This is – I think we're about to open a can of worms here soon. Gary Templeton over Trevor Hoffman?
I couldn't put him at three, bro. I couldn't put him at three.
Is Trevor Hoffman on your list?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Dang it. I was hoping you were going to say no, and then I could just – well, of course – at number one of the best hitters of all time. One of the, if you look at him as a baseball player, he was not, physically someone that you would marvel at as this Ken Griffey Jr., this Mike Trout or whatnot. But Tony Gwynn, one of the best pure hitters in MLB history. He hit 300 more times than people have stolen bases sometimes in a game. I mean, in entire seasons, he hit 300. An unbelievable player. Unfortunately, played for the Padres, which didn't have a lot of success. But Tony Gwynn deserves to be on any, hear me, on any MLB list. Forget Padres. Forget, National League. On any MLB list, if you're doing top 10 hitters of all time, if Tony Gwynn's not in your top five, you're about as crazy as Drew saying Gary Templeton. All right, so Tony Gwynn deserves to be on any list, but especially number one, right above Trevor Hoffman, right, Drew?
Yeah, we'll say that. What if I put Tony Gwynn at the number two spot? What would you do?
And who'd be at number one, Drew?
I don't know. That would be up to you, man. That would be up to you.
If you had said Tony Gwynn at two, I would have lost my mind even more.
What if I put him at three? What if I put him at three?
Drew, if he's a top five hitter of all time and you put him at number three in franchise history of the Padres, who have not been good at all,
The reaction would be hilarious.
I'm dying to know what Kim Committee and Gary Templeton have to say about that. Nothing. They got nothing to say about that.
I guess not.
What in the world? Gary Templeton, bro. Golly. All right. You know what time it is. It's our favorite time of the show. My favorite time of the show. We're going to be rolling out one of Drew's own personal segments that he can grow up as his child here soon. But my baby on this podcast is the collapse segment. We have attacked so many different franchises. And if you're wondering, no, we will never talk about the St. Louis Cardinals or the New York Yankees in this segment. Why? Because they're not a collapsing organization. They have the two most world championships in MLB history. So keep dreaming if you're wondering that. Today, Drew, I might love this one more than the Cubs. We talk about the collapse of the Cubs, and it has been catastrophic because they were the lovable losers. They won in 2016, and it was almost like 2016 was a snap of a finger, or you know, like one of those movies where it's like a blast from the past because they've never been seen from again. You know who's even worse? And this might be in North American sports. I did a video for Clutch Points about this. In North American sports, so we'll throw Canada, Mexico, South America, whoever you want to throw in, Drew. There might not be a worse franchise than the Pittsburgh Pirates. There might not be. When we do this collapse segment, you tend to hear me say, like, man, this has been one of the worst franchises in recent memory. We're talking about baseball, okay? When we talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, we have to talk about the history of humanity at this point. Because I don't think, and I would love to see people get in the comments about this, I don't think over the past 25 to 30 years, you can pick a more pathetic franchise, a more pathetic excuse of a team than the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let me explain. The Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm not even going to use the same words because they don't deserve the same words as these other teams, Drew. Oh, they've been awful or they've been bad. The Pittsburgh Pirates are sewage, bro. They're legit sewage, okay? Think about Pittsburgh as well as a city, right? People think about, oh, downtown Pittsburgh, Steel City, man, the Pirates, terrible towel, or the Steelers, terrible towel. Blah. Think about the slums of Pittsburgh, and those people have it better than PNC Park. Think about the poorest of the poor in Pittsburgh, right? Think about those who might even be homeless in Pittsburgh. They have it better than the Pittsburgh Pirates. their owner, Drew, I don't even remember his name at this point. And it's probably better that I don't remember his name because even saying his name will just give me this regurgitative feeling. Their owner has been recycling managers and players and all this different stuff. And what you would hope to be the result of a great franchise, right? Bro, he does that because it's fun. He does it because he enjoys it. You see pictures of this guy. He wears glasses and he kind of, there's shots of him talking with ownership. But what is he talking about? Like, I'm dying to know. I'm dying to know what those conversations are like. Because the Pittsburgh Pirates over the last 10 years, let me just give you some records. From 2012 until where we are in 2022, they've had 83 losses. Then, Drew, guess what? Guess what? Here's the silver lining. They made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Bro, 3 years in a row. The Pirates made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Why do I bring that up? I thought it was the collapse segment, AJ. They made the playoffs 3 years in a row. Because their only three playoff appearances since 1990. Drew. 1990. Like, how many times do I have to say that? They have made the playoffs three times since the 90s, bro. Think about Y2K. And when everyone was thinking about Y2K. Oh, the world's going to end. Oh, the world's going to end. The Pirates were bad 10 years before that. They were bad 10 years before that. Since those three playoff appearances, 83 losses, 87 losses, 79 losses, 93 losses, 41 losses, and my favorite, 101 and 100 back-to-back years. They lost 200 games. Drew, the Dodgers have won more games than the Pirates have lost in the last 2 years. That's how bad it is. The Dodgers have had historic seasons, and they've barely edged out the Pirates in losses. Pittsburgh Pirates. Again, you can't, they don't even deserve the awful, horrible garbage. They are legit sewage, bro. For anyone that's a Pirates fan, I am sorry. I'm sorry. Like, I wish I could tell you right now, like, at least you have the Steelers, but you don't. Like, you're just, you're stuck. You're stuck. And maybe you should move. Maybe you should go somewhere. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Because, as you know, like, I love talking about this as a Cardinals fan. I don't know what you should do. I got nothing for you. Because the Pirates have made the playoffs three times since 1990. And in those years, they lost the NLCS three straight years. And 10 years before that, they won the World Series. So if you're a Pirates fan in 1993, you're like, I mean, we made the NLCS. Like, we're at least going to be good for a little bit. And then you have gone legitimately 20 years in between playoff appearances. Think what the Mariners just experienced. The Pirates have experienced that threefold for their entire franchise history. And by the way, Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates might be their best player in the last 15 years. Yes, I said that. Because Andrew McCutchen, as great as he was, had one great NL MVP season. He won the MVP in 2013, blah, 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 blah. And then wasn't really a centerpiece of the Pirates as a franchise player, right? And then Andrew McCutchen has been shipped off other places. Bro, when Brian Reynolds is in the top 10 Pirates of all time, it's bad. It's awful. It's sewage. What prospects the Pirates got, Drew? None.
No. So, I mean, it's similar to the Angels, right? They never go out and get anyone. I think the biggest thing they've done in however many years was the Cabrian Hayes deal. And, you know, we don't know what he's going to turn out to be. I don't think anyone does. So, yeah, I mean, similar to the Angels, in my opinion. I mean, hey, they have a nice ballpark. That's about it.
Oh my gosh, bro.
It's about
you know how much I hate their ballpark? You know how much I hate when we play in Pittsburgh? It's just, it's so revolting. Like, what a sad excuse of a team. Honestly, what a sad excuse of a team. Key Brian Hayes hurt his wrist the day he got his extension.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a Pirates franchise microcosm.
Right, how many years was that deal? I think it was seven.
Bro, no, it was
a seven-year deal.
Bro, it was a massive deal. That's what made it so funny. It was a massive deal. That's just the Pirates.
He was the one that didn't, he hit the home run, he didn't touch home plate, right? That was him.
I mean, I believe it. Oh, and we can't forget the play against the Cubs where the guy hit Javier Baez hit it to first instead of, you know, staying on first base and ending the inning. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. He got in a pickle with the Pirates first baseman between home plate and first. Let's listen again. A pickle in between home plate and first. That doesn't happen. That doesn't exist. But he ran him back, and of course everybody was safe. Oh, and that guy, he got cut, released, and sent to Japan all in a matter of a week. That first baseman, bro.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Don't you dare put the Angels in the same sentence as them, bro. It's just like the Angels. No, it's not. Nothing is like the Pittsburgh Pirates, bro. They're one of one in the worst way possible. You need to move us to the next segment, or I'm just gonna go we'll on for another on, half hour, on. Bro. They are sewage, legit sewage.
Alrighty. Well, moving on. Last week we picked the greatest outfielder of all time. Today, Barry. And AJ didn't really like my pick there.
Not an outfielder.
Well, today
you agreed he wasn't an outfielder.
I did.
Oh,
but let's move on. Today, we're going to be picking the all-time designated hitter. So, AJ, I went first last time. Let's let you go. Let's see what it is.
I had two names just in case I had to go second because I was worried you're going to pick this guy. Because, I mean, can you not pick this guy if you're a Yankees fan, Drew? You have seen way too much of him in October baseball, in all of the worst, the darkest moments, if you will. Can you pick anybody else? I mean, you have to, obviously, but can you pick anybody else but David Ortiz as the greatest designated hitter of all time? The man played first base for like the first 4 years of his Minnesota Twins career and then proceeded to be a Hall of Famer by being a hitter, right? You think about all these Hall of Famers that are great because they, you know, field and they hit. David Ortiz is a Hall of Famer with zero gold gloves. And because he hit bombs and hit clutch hit after clutch hit after clutch hit in October. The only reason Drew brings up the darkest moment last week is because of David Ortiz. He won game. I'm sorry, Drew. He won game four. He won game five. He mashed in game six. Game seven. Like, that was David Ortiz in a nutshell. And I know it too well as a Cardinals fan too. But how can you pick anybody else as David Ortiz? Let's find out, Drew.
Well, yeah, that puts me in a weird spot because I did also pick David Ortiz. But I wanted to bring up the stats. Kind of cool. He spent 1,647 of his 1,905 career games at DH. So he was there. Yeah, he was there for a pretty long time. And at 37 years old, he was batting .309. That was his 2013 season. Yep. So this man was never slowing down. So I did also pick David Ortiz because, you know, I picked Barry Bonds last week, greatest outfielder of all time. Yeah, but David Ortiz, crazy, never slowed down, Hall of Famer.
Do you have another person or no?
I didn't. I would have picked Barry Bonds, I guess, right?
Might as well, Drew.
Who else did you have?
The other person I have was Jim Thome.
Okay.
Jim Thome, I think, deserves to be in that DH conversation. Even Edgar Martinez of the Mariners. Yep. He was another great one. 541 home runs for David Ortiz in his career.
Crazy.
1,768 RBIs as a DH, bro. I mean, he defined what a designated hitter was. So, well, there you go. That might be the first time that we've agreed on the same player in the history.
In a while.
Which I hate because I wanted to, you know, duke it out, Drew. You know, Amir Garrett style. You know.
Right.
Okay. Got another fun segment that we're starting this week on The Dugout. As always, feel free to like and subscribe, rate and review the podcast. Check out the shorts on TikTok, Instagram, as well as all MLB content at Clutch Points MLB. This week, we're throwing in another segment, and we're calling it Hall of Fame or Not. Drew and I will each give each other two names, and we will then make a case or not make a case for that player's Hall of Fame status. Drew, I'll give you the first name.
Wait. We're just picking one name, right? So we're going to tell each other one name and then say Hall of Fame or not based on that person.
Sure. We can just do one. Whatever, right. Whatever is great for you, bro. That's what I'm excited for to see.
How many names do you have on your list? Because I have four if you want to do all four.
I have three.
Just in case we do three. Let's do three.
Do three? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the same ones as me, but let me tee you up first. This is a fun one. This is the first guy's name popped in my head for some reason. Because I'm just so curious. Drew, Hall of Fame or not? Charlie Blackmon.
I'm going to say no. Based in the Rockies organization, though, he could probably honestly be on the top five Rockies of all time if we ever did that. But not a Hall of Famer. No.
That's true. I would say no as well. That was just a fun one because he's been a great hitter. He's got third most leadoff home runs since 2013 or whatever. So he's been great.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you one of the bigger names, probably one of the biggest names in baseball, but it can be debatable. I feel like having one of the greatest seasons of all time, but he's very old, started his career late as a rookie, but Aaron Judge, Hall of Fame or not. This was the first year that he had like a full healthy year, so it can be tricky. I'm coming from a Yankees fan.
Of course, you just go straight for the jugular. Drew, I'm going to say no right now.
Okay,
I'm going to say no. He obviously had the historic season, but to your point about Gerrit Cole, I think that was kind of baffling to me. I need to see more.
Yep.
I need to see back-to-back years, not of 60 home runs. Good grief.
Right.
But I need to see back-to-back years of consistency. Like you said, he's been struggling with injury somewhat. And I kind of want to see what happens with free agency. His career could either skyrocket or plummet. So if I say Hall of Fame now, and the next year he goes to a different team, aka the New York Mets, or another team, and just drops off the map, then I'm going to look really stupid. So right now, because he's still kind of in his prime, I'm going to say no.
Just a side question. Do you think he can ever have that season again? Or anyone in the MLB?
62 home. See, now we're just opening the can of worms. Yes, I'll say yes. And that'll be, that might be, you might just tee this up for the segment next week, but yeah. We still need to debate the home run. Who's a real home run? The real home run king? Yeah, Aaron Judge right now is not a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Oh, Drew, I love this one. I love this one even more than any of the other ones I've teed you up for. Drew. Can't even get through. Is Jose Altuve a Hall of Famer? Oh, I knew he was going to deliberate. Drew, it's an instant yes for me. Instant.
Really?
Like, I don't even have to think about it.
I'm going to say yes. But do you think, I don't know, could the cheating stuff have something to do with that?
Nope.
You don't
think? Nope. And here's why. I knew you were going to bring that up. Here's why. What is the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown? What do they call it?
What do they call it?
A Hall of Fame.
I don't know.
Museum.
Oh, yeah.
They call it a Hall of Fame museum, which means it's the history of baseball. It's not just baseball's greatest players. Therefore, just as Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame, another segment that we can put a pin in, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, all those guys from the cheating scandal should be in the Hall of Fame because they're part of baseball history.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Basing it, ignoring that stuff, I mean, one of the shortest players in baseball and what he does. So
it's true. Yes. And it's third most postseason home runs in MLB history.
It's unbelievable.
One of them doesn't technically count, but
yeah. Yeah.
which Drew will die on that hill.
All day about that one. Alrighty. I think you'll like this one. Hall of Fame or not, Nolan Arenado.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Can we stop this? Speaking of instant yes, the man just won his 10th, ladies and gentlemen. Since he has been a Major League Baseball player, he's won a gold glove every year. 10 years in the major leagues, 10 gold gloves. Which means, technically, according to the gold glove terminology, since coming to the league, there hasn't been a better third baseman than Nolan Arenado. And I wish, Drew, that they would do just gold glove in general rather than NL and AL. Because I just want to, like, who won the AL gold glove? I don't even know his name. Jose Ramirez? Right. I mean, who won it? I don't know. I mean, they haven't announced it yet. But Nolan, dude, I was wondering if you were going to do that one because that's an instant yes.
I know. I wanted to hear you talk about it.
Instant. And he's one of the best hitters in the majors since he's coming to the league as well. Whatever, how many home runs he's hit since 2015 is like top five in the majors. So since Nolan Arenado has stepped foot on a baseball diamond, he's been one of the best third basemen of all time.
Yep.
Forget about right now.
Yeah.
So you got one more?
I got one more. Yeah, I do. One sec.
All right.
But he does deserve every gold glove, but we got the gold glove whole thing. It's kind of becoming a joke. Like we brought up last episode, Juan Soto. I mean,
it's true. But Juan Soto's a joke. Is Nolan Arenado a joke, Drew?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Man, coming for the kidneys. All right.
We'll move on. We'll move on. So, last person that I have for you, Hall of Fame or not. I'll just go, and then you can just ask me. Okay. Ronald Acuna Jr., Hall of Fame or not?
Oh! That one's so tough, bro.
Yep.
I gotta say no. Not enough time's gone by yet. I think if I'm gonna say no to... who was the guy we were talking about? If I'm gonna say no to Aaron Judge, I'd say no to Ronald Acuna. He was injured all of last year. And he was injured. So he technically, he has a World Series ring, but he technically does not, right?
Yeah.
Because he didn't play the rest of that season. So, and I know, like, we can debate whether or not World Series go into Hall of Fame status. I don't think they do as much as NFL and NBA, but I got to say no, bro. I can't put him there right now. He's obviously one of the best. But yeah, I can't. Juan Soto is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Soto's super interesting. I'm not even going to answer that one, but we might have to tee that one up for next week. But Ronald Acuna Jr. is no.
Yeah, I feel like if he played that 29 or the World Series season, answer might have been different. But yeah. Even, I don't know, even if he did play, it's still a little early.
Yeah. All right, here's my last one.
Let's hear it.
Anthony Rizzo, Hall of Fame or not?
Ooh. No. No.
Really?
I don't know. I don't think he is.
He gave the Chicago Cubs a world championship.
Correct, but I don't know. You got to look at everything that was going around that season. Who did they play in the World Series? The Royals? It's really weird. Really weird season.
They played the Indians or the Guardians.
Was it the Indians?
Yeah.
Was the Royals the year before then?
They played so the year before was Mets Royals because the Mets swept the Cubs in the NLCS.
Okay. I don't know. I just don't see him as a Hall of Famer. And he, I don't know. He could be on a different team this season too.
It's true. I could see him being a Hall of Famer, but I will agree with you and say that he's not. I just feel like if you're a centerpiece of that Cubs team, you have a case. But
no, it was really special. But I don't know.
That's a part of history.
It's not enough. It's not enough from him.
That's true. Like.
And I love him, but it is what it is. So last week we did a this or that series. AJ went through a few players, different questions, and asked me. So today it's my turn, and I'm gonna have some fun with this one. So,
oh my word,
let's do it. Alrighty,
knock yourself out.
Okay, walk off home run to win the game. Okay, to win the game. Who do you want on? Who do you want at the plate? Alex Bregman or Manny Machado? Well, third base battling.
That's a good question, Drew.
Yeah.
You know what? I need Breggy.
Okay, yeah.
I need Alex Bregman. He's one of the most clutch hitters in the history of our game. Manny Machado's great. He also doesn't have a lot of big-time moments. Obviously, this 2022, he had some great hits. But Bregman's been there, man. So if you put him there again, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. So give me Bregman.
Okay. Better outfielder based on defense only. Okay. Harrison Bader or Mookie Betts?
I knew there was going to be a homerism tied to this. Based on outfield only?
Yeah, based on, outfield only.
Bader, bro.
Yeah.
Bader, 100%. Yeah. If we're only going outfield, I don't want anybody else. If there's a one-man outfield ever in baseball, and I have to choose Mookie Betts or Harrison Bader, bro, it's a wrap. Give me Harrison Bader.
The dude is just so good.
He's faster. He's won a gold glove already. The locks are flowing. I mean, not anymore because on the Yankees, but when he has his hair grown out, like, Mookie's an all-time hitter. Like, I get it. But if we're talking about just defense, nah, fam. I've witnessed it firsthand. The guy can close on a bloop to center field faster than anybody I've ever seen. That's going to pick off so many people, and I love it.
But it's not. I don't know. I'm not even going to get into that. Okay.
What?
It's not wrong. You're not wrong. I feel like you're not wrong.
Yeah. No pushback.
Wow. We'll move along. we'll keep going with a similar question. Better outfielder based on only hitting. So they both play the outfield, but whatever. Bryce Harper or Aaron Judge?
Drew, that question is so tough because of 2022. If 2022 didn't happen, this would be an easy answer. I'm going to give the edge to Aaron Judge.
Okay.
And here's why. Bryce Harper, I would describe, but we're going to get absolutely annihilated. Bryce Harper, I would describe as a very streaky hitter.
Yep.
Now, you can make the same argument for Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. But the difference is Aaron Judge, he's got something about him where he seems like he can get on base more, like get hits more. Bryce Harper feels like it's a double, home run, or a strikeout. So, for that reason, and for reasons I don't even know, bro. I'm it's off the top of my head, you know. So
yeah,
give me Aaron Judge by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, he was saying during that whole 62 home run season that he's locked in every pitch because he doesn't have too many pitches to look at because everyone pitched away from him. So
yep.
But alrighty, moving on. Better shortstop, Carlos Correa or Francisco Lindor?
Correa.
Okay.
I got Carlos Correa. I don't know what it is about Lindor, bro. I can't get behind him. I just never can get behind him. He had that 1 year with the Indians/Guardians where they went to the World Series. But Correa's that dude, man. Like, we bring up the cheating scandal. We bring up, you know, all the stuff that he was a part of. We forget that Carlos Correa is one of the best. Like, the Astros in general are some of the best postseason hitters of all time. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, Carlos Correa. If we're just talking about October, I need an argument why they should not be in the top 10. Those three. I'm serious. If we're listing 10 postseason hitters, it might be more recently because postseason baseball has been going on a long time, but Carlos Correa, like, and we're talking about overall, right? This is just offense and defense?
Yeah.
And he's a tall shortstop, man. Like, he's lanky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's easy for me. I can't get behind Frankie.
I agree with you. Yeah. He's electric in the postseason. And
yes. I knew that Twins thing wasn't going to work out, dude. It was no. It was a wash.
I want to say, where do you think he's going?
Oh, we'll get to that in just a second.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in just a second.
Alrighty. Well, that's all I got for you. Till next week.
Man, this for that. It's going to be a fun segment. We're going to ultimately, here's what's going to end up happening, folks. This or that's going to turn from this or that player, you know, better shortstop, better first baseman, to waffles or pancakes. And Drew and I are just going to go ham. Drew, waffles or pancakes?
Waffles, easily.
Easily. I don't think it's easy. I got waffles, but it's not easy.
I think
easy.
It's easy. I don't know.
That's what that's going to turn into. So stay tuned for that. But finally, let's talk about what everyone wants to talk about now that baseball's over. By the way, congrats to the Houston Astros winning the 2022 World Series. Drew is elated that he finally got the monkey off his back. He can stop hating the Astros because they finally won it all. Right, Drew?
Yep. For now.
He finally, I mean, all they had to do was win. Winning cures everything, right, Drew? Winning cures everything. Oh, he was the biggest Phillies fan during that series. Now we're going to talk about what is next on the docket. Oh, the baseball season's over, AJ. What are you going to talk about? Everything? I don't know. Maybe one of the biggest off seasons in MLB history. There are so many free agents. Not enough places to put them. Someone's going to end up in the Mexican Baseball League with Addison Russell. That's what's going to happen, Drew. Oh, man. That's awesome. I didn't even think. I'm hearing some of this for the first time, too. So we're going to talk about winners and losers of the trade deadline. We're predicting it. We're going to give a team that we think will win, a team that we think will lose, and why the team that will win will be the Dodgers, because that seems to be the only logical answer nowadays. But let's see. Let's see where Mr. Drew Zagrosi goes over there. Drew, who is winning when it's all said and done? So January, February, I mean, I don't know when these talks end, but who will win the trade deadline? Or not the trade deadline, but the offseason, you know, winter baseball meetings, basically. Who will win that when it's all said and done?
So when you sent me this segment, the first team that popped in my head was the Mets. They already signed Edwin to this big, whatever, $105 million deal. 5 years, and they need an outfielder. I mean, Steve Cohen, he's proved that he wants to win. after that huge season, I mean, yeah, the Mets.
Are the Mets going to get anybody else, Drew?
Probably. I mean,
anybody come to mind?
Stop. Joey Gallo. You said an outfielder, right? Joey Gallo. He's on the
market. Joey Gallo is going to the Metropolitan Apple. Oh, man.
And I also did have the Dodgers as another team to win it. But, I mean, they seem to win it every year. So that's why I had to say them.
Drew, I hate winter baseball meetings. One, because I'm a Cardinals fan. And we do absolutely nothing. We signed a Cleveland Guardians like minor leaguer. It's like a deal or something. And this thought just popped in my head, like, what if that's all that we do?
Yeah.
Like, how much this podcast would just be like, my room would be on fire probably while we're recording. Like, it just that thought just occurred to me just because of our history. Now, that's not going to be all that we do, but I mean, good golly, might as well be over the past couple of years. Love you, Nolan. Love you, Renato. So who will win the trade deadline? Dude, like, I want to say the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I really do. But I can't. And you know why? Because the San Diego Padres are coming.
Okay.
And they, I think, are going to sign Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sign Josh Hader. Right? All these trade deadline things that happened. They're going to have to get rid of some pieces. Right? I think Will Myers will be gone. Jerickson Profar might be dealt. Even Ha-Sung Kim, because you got Tatis coming back. You can use Ha-Sung Kim's ability for a trade package. But, bro, you lock some of those guys up. And even a Brandon Drury, you sign him to a short deal. Like, the Padres made the NLCS this year without Fernando Tatis Jr. Think about that for a second. Manny Machado, Juan Soto, and Tatis have never played on the same team together. And they're going to get at least 100 games of all three of those guys. So I might have been a year late. I picked the Padres to win the West this past year. Obviously, it didn't work out because the Dodgers went absolute bonkers. But I got the Padres. I'm calling my shot right now. I got the Padres winning the 2023 NL West because of what they're going to do this offseason. So I got them winning the trade deadline.
So now, imagine if Juan Soto says, no, I'm not coming back. Just imagine.
Why would he? He made the NLCS.
No, I know. I'm just saying, just giving up all those prospects. I mean,
oh yeah, dude,
that would hurt.
It would be awful. It'd be awful, dude. It'd be a dark time in San Diego.
Yeah.
Which they're used to. I mean, not going to lie. Someone's going to really mess up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's really going to, and so help me if you say the St. Louis Cardinals. But, Drew, someone's going to lose these winter baseball meetings. Yep. And they're not going to do anything. They're going to trade away to peace. If we were talking in September, I'd say the Milwaukee Brewers, right?
Yeah.
But right now, as we look forward to 2023, who is losing this offseason?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, you could go back in any of our collapse segments and pick one of those teams, which I'm going to do. The Angels. So they keep
give
Ohtani.
Give us a lowdown.
Yeah. What's so they just gave Ohtani that 1-year deal, and they came out and said, whoever came out and said that we're not trading him. So you would think that they're going to get someone else. Maybe a few pieces, right? Maybe. We'll have to see. But I'm doubting it. So
I don't know.
That's why they're going to lose. I know they're going to.
It's gotten to the point every year, where. Bro. Yeah. I would say it's gotten to the point where when you talk about the Angels losing something, you don't really even need a reason why. Like, people just understand what you're talking about. That's the point that we've gotten to with the Los Angeles Angels. But Drew, you thought the AL Central was bad this past year. It's about to get worse. And I'm not talking about the Royals, not talking about the Twins. I'm not talking about like the bottom half of the division. I'm talking about teams that, Drew, we were talking about this team as a potential World Series contender at the end of the 2021, sorry, at the end of the, yeah, at the end of the 2021 postseason when they almost beat the Astros in the playoffs. Bro, the White Sox are going to poop their pants. Like, straight up, dude. Like, I think it's going to be as bad as, like, because, I mean, you just let Tony La Russa walk. Tim Anderson was hurt the last half of the year. You were in the thick of the division and basically just said, ah, we're not interested. Like, basically lost games. You had team meetings where it was like, hoorah, rah, we're going to do this. And then basically disbanded within a week. Drew, I think it's going to be bad. I think the White Sox, like, in some crazy, like, three-team trade are going to, like, deal away Tim Anderson and are going to wake up the next morning like, what do we do? What have we done? They're a mess. They're an absolute mess. And Drew, this is a team that went into the 2021 postseason and pushed the Astros. Like, you remember Southside Chicago? That one game where, like, they had the lights flickering and everything, and the Astros were, like, on the brink of just losing everything?
Yeah.
Where did that team go? Like, they're nowhere to be seen. And the AL Central is already bad. So when the White Sox are bad, Cleveland Guardians are the only hope for that division's relevance. Or we're just going to lose hope in everything. So, yeah, the White Sox are going to...
The White Sox are a team, I feel like, that were just at that peak. They were just reaching, like, you know, the World Series. It could be there, and then it's just going back down.
Yep. I mean, they got some names, too.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. Is they're going to feel like, I feel like they're going to get like two eyes too big for their stomach. And they're like, oh, we got all these big names. Let's deal them. And they're going to get like nothing in return, bro.
Do you have we didn't really talk about this. Do you have a team in mind that could be like either on either side of the trade deadline, winning or losing? Like
you flip a coin kind of thing.
Yeah. Cause for me, my team, the Yankees, I mean, we've seen it before. So
yeah.
Well, I won't get into it, but I mean, just a team on the top of my head.
I'd like to flip a coin for the Cardinals, but bro, I think we're sick and tired of it. I really am. I think that we're gonna mess some people up with what we do. Like,
I hope.
I saw somebody, I follow like a Cardinals page on Facebook, and I saw somebody like as a Pirates fan or something, or it was a Twitter thread, and the Pirates fan was like, we had like Nolan Arenado opted in to the rest of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, why? Like, why? Why?
Exactly.
Like, he didn't even have, like, any roasting. Like, he just, like, why did he? Because that's what it's going to be for the next 5-10 years.
He knows. He knows that it's going to be a bright future there.
No, but sure. In terms of flipping a coin, I think, I don't know, bro. Like, I look at a team like the Phillies.
Yeah.
Just came off a high of the World Series. A lot of market value in a lot of their names. I could see the Braves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying the Braves are going to fall off. Don't hear, like the Braves could lose, like be the biggest loser from this and still be fine. If that makes sense. Cause they have so many guys locked up, but like Dansby is a free agent. Like that could do something, to their franchise. So, I would lean more towards the Phillies as flipping a coin. Because you just don't know, man. Like, I called this, and I didn't think they were going to – well, I thought they were going to lose, but I called this. I said, like, Philadelphia doesn't know how to handle success. They really don't. And I think that this might bite them in the tail end. So, but any thoughts you got on the 2022 World Series? I know you were probably just salivating watching the Astros win it all.
No, I don't know. Just props to Philly for, like, being in there for most of it. I mean, that's really all I can say, keeping up with the Astros like that. But everyone, I feel like, had a feeling that the Astros were taking all of that.
Yeah. I think you're going to hate me for this, but I think that was kind of cool to see. They had the 2017 cheating scandal. Everyone labeled them villains. Everyone labeled them, you know, the enemies of sports, blah, blah, blah. They shipped everybody off, brought in Dusty Baker for stability. And, you know, 2 years later, 3 years later, they won it all again. So I think that's cool because they've actually done it the right way this time. They've actually shown how good they are, which is like the biggest what if we talk about players. Biggest what if more so is like, why did the Astros ever cheat? Because if this is how good they are, they don't cheat. Bro, they could be like the Golden State Warriors of sports.
Yeah.
So yeah, six straight LCSs, dude.
Yeah, the last game I was sort of rooting for Dusty and the Astros just so we could get that World Series win. I love him.
I'm so proud of you, bro.
Nah, that was like the last game though. The whole series. The whole series. I'm like, all right, Philly has a chance. They're keeping up, but no.
We didn't even talk about this. The combined no hitter in game 5.
Oh yeah.
How about that, bro? The Phillies went from literally like turning like Citizens Bank Park into a zoo.
Yeah.
To getting no hit. No hit in the World Series. You got there because you swung the bat and you got no hit.
That combined no hitter was led by Christian Javier and ended with Ryan Pressly.
Yep.
And the same season, whatever the season that just happened, the last time that happened, the Astros threw a combined no hitter against the Yankees on June 25th, I believe. Yep. And it was also led by Christian Javier and ended with Ryan Pressly. So
that's stability, man. That's
didn't really want to bring that up, but it's kind of cool, I guess. Yeah.
Man, in the World Series, though, that's super impressive.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Props to the Astros. We're officially at the end of the 2022 MLB season, but that does not mean we are going anywhere. We are continuing to roll out weekly content, daily content, if you follow us on TikTok and Instagram. So make sure to stay tuned to all of those things. We'll continue rolling out these things. We got debates coming up soon. Drew and I have hinted at some of them, but we got some things to hash out. Just put a pin in it right there. We got some things to hash out. So make sure you like and subscribe. Follow us, the podcast as well. We're on YouTube, of course, but there's also a podcast on Apple and Spotify and Anchor. So make sure to like all of those things and leave us a review. That always helps us out as well. Enough housekeeping. I am Cardinals fanatic AJ Caldwell. That is the Yankees ride or die guy, Drew Zagrosi. And we will see you guys next week after the winter baseball meetings.
See you guys. Peace out.